T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for Joe DeCamera. Alongside John Ritchie, we have James Seltzer with us. You guys, the phone lines, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here as we vent about the Sixers not giving the kind of effort, especially defending T.J. Warren on Saturday night, that we expected and hoped. The Flyers looked absolutely great yesterday after those first 10 minutes. They win their first of the round robin. Phillies are going to play tonight, so we're going to get some baseball, which is great, and it sounds like another day of negative tests for Phillies. And we did get some news over the weekend that some of those tests, they believe, that did come back positive last week were actually false positives.
Correct.
James, that's
yes.
That's huge. It really shows that the Phillies are okay. We didn't know that. Last week we were all nervous. The Phillies were not going to be okay and maybe be like the Marlins, but that's obviously not the case, and they're going to play tonight.
And you know what else it shows, and I hope I'm not reading too much into this, that we've heard all along, the players have talked about they feel safe mm-hmm. with the protocol that they're following. You know, the Phillies players they've publicly stated, you know, we are essentially disciplined in the way we're approaching this. And I think that starts at the top. You know, like I believe Joe Girardi and his staff have implemented, you know, along with the guidelines provided by Major League Baseball, but they've got guys buying in. You know, like I feel confident that our guys are doing the right things and the testing continues to prove mm-hmm. that it's helping us, like the way that we're dealing about, you know, the ins and outs of practicing and trying to get ready to play baseball. They've established that this works.
I also think,
which is good for what moving forward, like the possibility
totally.
Of this season continuing.
Well, and I also think that Matt Klentak talked about this. I said it at the time, but they said that the outbreak in Clearwater in spring training kind of helped them realize how quick it can spread and this and that, and they were kind of a little maybe more prepared for it than some other teams
yeah.
in the season. I think that's borne out.
Yeah, they might have been shook by what happened to them.
Yeah.
Because you know, they were kind of the first team to have an outbreak back in late
right.
June with the Phillies. And now the Marlins have had it in season. It sounds like the Cardinals are going through something, I'm going to say right now it seems not quite as dire as the Marlins, but not great either.
You can sort of draw a parallel. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with the Eagles. I mean, we know that there were coaches working closely with Doug Peterson,
Press Taylor
being
yeah.
one of them. You know, hopefully things stay contained with the Eagles, but in some ways having a critical player or players test positive, it's not all negative.
Well, there's a learning element to
yeah.
it, right? We did this wrong. We got to do it better. 215-592-9494. Speaking of that, we know now that Doug Peterson tested positive for COVID-19. He's going to be away from the Eagles for a while. And it really got us thinking about who's the most indispensable person on this Eagles team this season. If you had to lose one for 2 weeks, and we hope nobody has to be lost. But if you did, you know, who's more indispensable? Who could the Eagles be without least? And I think it's Doug Peterson. John Ritchie thinks it's Carson Wentz. Let's talk to you guys. Joe's in Mayfair. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Replacement. You again, when there's a replacement for the camera, we actually hear Richie talk more, so it's appreciative to have a different Joe on once in a while, but we do miss you. The camera, get back soon.
Yes, Joe will be back tomorrow. Appreciate it, Joe. What's on your mind today?
A lot on the mind today. Head coach, and Peterson's definitely more important than Wentz, until you get the next coach. Let's just be honest. When you get the next coach, it's always the coach that's in place is always the most important person on the team because everything goes through them. When it comes to our sports town, Gabe Kapler never put his players in a position to be the best they could be because it was about Kapler, not the players. Brett Brown's the same way. Amy Reid always said, it's my responsibility to put the players in the best position to succeed. And you clearly can see, no matter how much talent you have, if you don't have a leader on the bench to put that player and give that player the role that's best designed for them, you're never going to succeed. And if you look at the Flyers, every player on that ice knows exactly what their role is. Every given shift, not game, shift. And that is when you're a player, whether you're talented or not, when you respect the person at the helm, not only are you physically an athlete, but you're mentally prepared every play. And that's the difference between the Sixers. Sixers aren't mentally prepared because their leader is not mentally prepared. So you can have all the physical talents in the world, but if you don't believe in the person behind the bench, you ain't doing anything at all, period.
Joe, I think it's a fair take. I mean, I disagree on Gabe. We don't have to get into that. I think he often did put the players in the right position.
Please.
No, I think he did.
Please.
I mean, that was his whole thing. I mean, he was optimized.
Ray Hoskins leading off? Come on, Joe.
Joe, what is he batting second under Joe Girardi now? And he leads the league
in
walks.
He's consistently batting second, not going from third to first to fourth.
All right.
He's consistently
I don't think that matters. I think that's all excuses when players don't hit. I think it is. But I think that your point on the Sixers is interesting when it comes to Brett Brown. And I don't think you're totally wrong that they've lost either the will to fight for him as the coach or the respect. I don't know what it is, but I don't think there is an answer. I think you have a lot of square pegs, round holes with the Sixers, and I don't know what what is Brett supposed to do to get more out of these players? What's he not doing that he should do?
It starts from the jump. In any relationship that you build as a person, it's trust and respect.
But I mean, like a starting lineup. Like the players don't fit together.
No, it's different than that. It's is Josh Richardson, what's my role? Am I a defensive specialist? Am I getting the ball? Am I the point guard? Shake Milton, what is my responsibility to give the shake for that specific game? Your duty. Whose responsibility was it to
Joe,
stop TJ Warren?
Do the players fit together? It was Ben Simmons. He didn't play well. How about we call the players
out?
As
a coach, you take Ben Simmons off of Warren and you put Thibault on him. Where was your defensive specialist in Thibault for the entire game? Was he?
Okay, so Joe,
Joe, because it's Brett Brown's responsibility to change it up, to get someone put on.
Why
TJ
is it
Warren
not the responsibility of the player that's going to be first team all defense to have it? Wait, Joe. I'm not saying you're wrong in that adjustments are fair to make, but you're talking about a player in Ben Simmons who's going to be voted first-team All-NBA or second-team All-NBA, and the fact that he couldn't guard a player that he clearly can guard, that he has physical tools to guard T.J. Warren.
But he did.
Joe, why aren't we talking about the fact that Ben Simmons in the first game he's played in 4.5 months, it didn't show up? Why is
he
it,
did.
Brett? But why is
but
it? Why?
You're not
but
why? But
why? We have to stop blaming coaches. We do this. This is what we do. Our default is it is. You said about Reese Hoskins.
Joe, you have a bench.
Our
if
default.
You have a player
our
on the
default.
Bench that's defensive specialist.
This is
no,
what
answer,
happens,
no.
Joe. Our default is here in Philadelphia when the players that are supposed to be good don't perform. It's always the coach's fault. Ben Simmons' fault is Saturday night, not Brett's. Ben,
you're wrong.
But
Ben,
Brett
you're right.
can
ben
do something
up,
about
Joe.
It.
My last point before I get to it. Ben did not show up, but as a coach, if you know your player does not have it that night, isn't it your responsibility to see that your player did not show up and give your team the best chance to win to put somebody else out there that is mentally
wow,
there?
But
to
listen,
play?
Joe, we all know there's more politics to it than that. You don't just bench Ben Simmons in the first game because you're not seeing it.
Well, that's the problem. It was so clear on Saturday night that Ben Simmons could not be disciplined or talked to
Correct.
Or instructed to do things the right way. Meanwhile, Shake Milton. Now, foul trouble had a lot to do with it, too. But Shake Milton, who was having a terrible game, ended up sitting it out. And you know, like a coach who has the command of his team, the respect of his team, is able to discipline guys, sub guys, do everything appropriately at the time.
Yeah.
I do think more could have been done when it was clear Ben was not D'ing up properly. You try something new. I think the fault lies on both the player and the coach here, and that's why it's such a fascinating conversation.
Joe, give us a great fictional politician.
Just real quick. if your first line hockey team is not stopping the opposition's first line, you're going to put a checking line on them during the game. You're not going to wait till the game's over then to say, yeah, I should
right.
have done that.
And I hear that, but I think hockey's a different kind of sport than the other ones. And it is. Joe, it is. Joe, hockey players are certainly different than basketball superstars. It's not the same. I understand your point.
The game's a game. You want to win every game. If you ever watch the show Scandal, a politician who had so many different roles on the show, whether he was president, vice president, secretary of state, Cyrus Bean, to me, was probably the best politician I've ever seen on any show because he was such a great actor. Jeff Perry.
Interesting one. I've never seen that. Joe, appreciate the call. You guys seen Scandal?
I saw some episodes of Scandal. I know who he's talking about. You'd recognize the actor. He's in stuff.
I'll look it up. I mean, what he was just arguing there is the fundamental thing that we've argued for 2 years. I mean, it really it is. I mean, it's different realms of it. Gabe was certainly a big conversation, but now it's Brett. And it's even been Doug when the Eagles have been up and down. It's like the fight between the coach's fault versus the player's fault when things don't go well. Like, I'm not going to sit here and yell about Brett Brown when I'm watching Ben Simmons give half effort. Like, that Ben Simmons is a grown-up. Sometimes, like, this isn't high school. It's not high school basketball. It's not high school football. It's not high school baseball. These are max players.
You accept,
superstars.
You accept that it's a major problem, though, that Brett seemingly can't do what he should be able to do, which is command accountability from his players. You know, like, Ben, you know, call Ben out. Please, call Ben
but
out.
In the long, but
say
that doesn't,
something.
That doesn't work in the NBA.
Do something. Well, that's when it's clear that you need
though,
to
right?
change.
I mean, Brett Brown's job is on the line
here.
Yeah,
here's
right?
I think the.
Well, I don't even think it is anymore. I think.
It's
I think
over. It's done.
It is clear that this will not work. That game, how much more do we have to see?
I understand. Seriously. I understand what both of you are saying, and I think it is an indictment on Brett that they no longer seem to play with the kind of effort for him they used to. I think that's the biggest indictment. The X's and O's stuff, like, I mean, he says Ben, go cover T.J. Warren. That he did the X's and O's job. He did his job. He put the right defender on the guy that's cooking them. If that defender doesn't play hard, that's the bigger issue.
Well, then don't you double? Don't you do? I mean, you got to do something. Like, you can't just let T.J. Warren just keep filling it up on you.
Yeah, I wonder when, and I guess it's going to be the next coach.
When
are we going to say Ben and Joel lead the team to some high height?
Yeah, well, someone, I wonder if Brett would have been here as long as he's been here were it not for the fans, were it not for us. Like, the coach can't hold the team accountable, yet somehow that Wells Fargo Center can.
Yeah, I think it's also changed the last 2 years. I feel like it's become more prevalent that they don't – not listening. I mean, that wasn't always the case. I thought early on –
It's run its path.
Yeah, I mean that's like, that happens.
His voice is falling on deaf ears. It happened to Andy Reid. We saw it firsthand.
Happened to Joe Girardi with the Yankees.
It did.
And they were good. They were in the ALCS, and they still said goodbye. Like, it doesn't mean you're a bad coach when you get fired. There are other things that play into it. Let's talk to Benjamin, who's in Downingtown. Hey, Benjamin.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hey, I got an idea for a bubble for the NFL. I have a question, though, for you, John. How long do players typically spend at the NovaCare Center on any given day, whether it's during training camp or during the season? Is it about 12 hours a day?
Guys will get there 7-ish or earlier if they need to get treatment, extra treatment. And I would guess right now during the camp, they would leave around 9 p.m.
Oh, so even longer.
Yeah, you got a lot of install and a lot of film work and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how things work now with the way things are scheduled and lighter. It might be less than that right now.
What if we did a bubble at home? In other words, if all the players bubbled inside the hotel where they stay, like Saturday nights before a game, mm-hmm. and then you have, say, a bus running back and forth from the NovaCare Center all day long for people who, like, when they're coming and going. You could have a valet service at the NovaCare Center as, like, for any amenities that the players might want, whether it's, you know, beer or chips or whatever that they want to bring back to the hotel with them at nighttime after they're done at the NovaCare Center. Mm-hmm. And
Well, you're talking about buying out a hotel then.
So it's interesting you brought this up. The Saints are doing this. It's not a mandatory thing, but they are sequestering their players if they want.
So is it just Saints in the hotel?
Yeah, they basically bought a hotel.
Yeah, that's what you'd have to do.
Yeah, and
you'd have to make sure that all the employees, which that's a lot of employees, but less than you would normally have. I don't know what you do with those. I guess if you're the Saints, you have to pay everyone who's employed at the hotel.
You know what it almost creates? It almost creates an old school training camp. Everyone used to be at Lehigh, and now they're all at the NovaCare / instead of the dorms, they're at this hotel you're creating. Benjamin, I think it actually would get the NFL to the season way easier. I don't think they're going to do it, but it's a good idea.
Yeah, you could even do like every other week on a Monday, you could have the family members come in, you know, after they tested negative, you know, over the weekend for COVID or whatever. This way, they're not away from their families. They could do the Zoom calls, and you don't have to buy an entire town in the middle of Minnesota like the camera wants to do. You know, you could just be right where you are.
I like everything about it. I don't think you can do the family thing.
That'd be too hard, yeah, because you don't know who they're with. Benjamin, give us a great fictional politician.
Okay, I was originally going to go with Ron Swanson, but he would not approve of this. So I'm going to go to the second best on that show, and that is Leslie Knope.
Great answer.
Great one. Benjamin, we got it. Appreciate it. We'll get you in the mix. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in here. Who's more indispensable to the Eagles? We know Doug Peterson has tested positive for COVID-19. If they had to lose one of these guys for 2 weeks, who's more indispensable? Who's tougher to replace? Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. The Sixers disappointed again Saturday. Great effort by the Flyers. We're getting baseball tonight right here on WIP. Joe Giglio in for Joe DeCamera alongside James and John on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.